Imagine you are holding one of those intricately carved Russian nesting dolls.
Right, the ones that stack perfectly inside each other.
Exactly. You crack open the very first one, the smallest piece right at the center, and inside is something beautifully simple, just basic addition, 1 plus 1.
Okay, I'm with you.
But as you start assembling the dolls, layering them one over the other, the patterns change. You snap on the second shell, and suddenly you're looking at the laws of physics.
That's quite a jump.
Right. And you keep pulling these larger, like more complex shells over the previous ones. You move rapidly through chemistry and biology. And then before you know it, you hit human consciousness.
The ultimate mystery.
Well, almost. Because as you reach for the final, largest doll to enclose the entire set, you realize it is artificial superintelligence.
Ah, yeah, that's the terrifying part.
It really is. So welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are bringing you into a conversation that attempts to solve that exact structural mystery.
Yeah, we are taking a look at a unifying framework from our source material called the Cascade Theory.
Our mission for you today is to really understand how reality stacks together, from basic math to self-aware machines.
And, why realizing the mathematical limits of the universe might literally be the only blueprint we have for humanity's survival.
It sounds wild, but the stakes outlined in the research are incredibly high.
They absolutely are. I mean, we like to think of existence in these neat, reducible categories, right? Physics stays in the physics department.
Biology stays in the biology department.
Exactly. And computer science stays in the lab. But this source material just completely shatters those walls.
It really does. It proposes that realizing how a simple number line evolves into a self-aware machine isn't just some abstract philosophical exercise.
No, it's the core mechanical requirement for keeping superintelligent AI from destroying the world.
Okay, let's unpack this. We need to establish the foundational rule that the entire cascade theory rests upon.
Right, the baseline.
The core hypothesis here is that reality is a cascade of non-linearities.
Which I know sounds like heavy jargon right out of the gate.
Seriously, what does a cascade of non-linearities actually look like in practice?
Well, the best way to visualize it is as an engine of emergence. According to the framework, every new domain of reality emerges by taking the existing rules and adding a brand new layer of complexity on top of them.
So it's building on itself.
Yes. The theory calls this jump a fold, or like a non-linear leap. But the crucial mechanism to really grasp here is preservation.
Preservation of the old rules.
Exactly. When the universe makes this massive leap to create a new domain, it perfectly preserves all the linear basic rules of the deeper levels beneath it.
Oh, I see. So the foundation doesn't change, it just gets folded into something much more complex.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this single equation, this ongoing process of preserving the old rules while folding in radical new complexity acts as an unbroken thread.
Spanning from the purest theoretical mathematics all the way up to complex AI governance.
Exactly. To figure out how to put guardrails on a supercomputer, we essentially have to trace that exact thread. We have to map out how reality built us in the first place.
Moving step by step up the cascade.
You got it.
Let's start tracing at the very bottom then, the foundational mathematical levels. The source labels level zero as real numbers.
Your pure, unadulterated linearity.
Right. You have a flat, one-dimensional number line. It stretches left and right forever. But then we hit level one, and the universe executes its first fold.
It adds the imaginary unit, I, to create complex numbers.
And the fascinating thing here is that we aren't just plotting more numbers on that flat line, right?
No, definitely not. Incorporating the imaginary unit forces the line to undergo a 90-degree rotation.
It literally thrusts that flat line into a completely new plane of existence.
Yeah, that geometric rotation is the perfect illustration of a non-linear fold. The fundamental rule of addition from level zero is entirely preserved.
But the new nonlinear dynamic unlocks entirely new structural possibilities.
Exactly. And those possibilities immediately trigger level two, which is the realm of fractals.
Okay, like the Mandelbrot set.
The Mandelbrot set is the classic visual example of this, yeah. Fractals preserve all the complex plane mathematics of level one, but they add a new nonlinear mechanism.
Iteration, right, feedback loops.
Right. Which means taking the output of a mathematical equation and plugging it right back into the start of the same equation as the new input.
And that repetitive feeding mechanism is what generates the infinite self-similar complexity we see in fractals.
Exactly. A simple equation looped over itself creates those endless psychedelic patterns that look the same whether you zoom all the way in or zoom all the way out.
You know, I really like to think of these first few levels like building a video game engine from scratch.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Like, level zero is your absolute base code, just the raw logic processing.
Right.
Then level one comes along and adds a physics engine. Suddenly, your flat code can process rotation and interact in two-dimensional space.
And then level two drops in a procedural generation loop.
Exactly, allowing the game to infinitely build its own terrain using that original base code without needing a programmer to draw every single rock.
The video game architecture analogy maps perfectly onto the math. But this is where the Cascade framework does something that sounds almost like science fiction.
Okay, brace yourselves.
It introduces a discontinuous phase jump. The source material refers to this transition as a teleportation singularity.
Teleportation singularity.
Yeah. It's the exact moment the pure mathematics leaps off the page and manifests into physical reality.
Okay. I have to pause you right there and push back on this concept, because pure math doesn't just spontaneously turn into a physical rock or a star.
It's definitely a leap.
What is the actual mechanism here? Oh. How does a mathematical feedback loop cross the threshold into generating tangible physical energy?
It is a really dense concept, but think of it as a phase transition rather than, you know, magic.
Like water freezing.
Exactly. You know how water undergoes a phase transition into ice when the temperature drops? The molecules are the same, but the structure fundamentally shifts. The framework suggests that when the mathematical fractal structures of level two become sufficiently dense and complex, they hit a threshold where they map onto physical invariants.
And that creates level three, which is physics.
Precisely.
The text specifically mentions the 18 degree of freedom system happening at level three. What are we actually measuring with those 18 degrees?
That's a great question. We are looking at the fundamental parameters of the standard model of particle physics.
So not just spatial dimensions.
No, no. Those 18 degrees of freedom represent the specific variables needed to define the physical state of the universe. Things like the masses of quarks and leptons.
Or the coupling constants of fundamental forces.
Right. And the mixing angles of particles. The theory argues that these 18 physical parameters aren't just random.
They are the direct physical manifestation of the fractal math from level two.
Exactly. So level three preserves all the fractal mathematics, but introduces the physical reality of mass, space-time, and the conservation of energy.
Okay, so the math essentially becomes the invisible skeleton, and physics is the flesh mapped over it.
I like that visual.
And once we establish physical mass and space-time at level three, the folds just keep accelerating.
We move into level four, which is chemistry.
Right. At level four, we preserve all the mass and energy conservation laws of physics, but we add the specific nonlinearity of electron bonding.
Atoms start sharing electrons, pulling together to create entirely new, complex molecular structures.
Structures that a single atom could never form alone.
Exactly. And the jump to chemistry sets the stage for the most crucial fold yet. Because chemistry gives us complex molecules, but level five gives us biology.
The universe preserves all the rules of chemical electron bonding, but introduces a radical new nonlinear fold.
Self-replication. We get DNA and RNA.
So instead of molecules just randomly bumping into each other and bonding, you suddenly have chemical networks that contain instructions to intentionally copy themselves.
Yeah, that self-replication brings back the fractal iteration we saw at level two, but now it's playing out in physical, organic matter.
It's the literal spark of life.
The historical continuity of the rules is what makes the cascade so robust. Real numbers fold into complex geometry. Geometry dictates physical mass.
Physics enables chemical bonding, and chemistry sparks biological replication.
Every single level inherits the unbroken laws of the past and invents a new future. Which brings us to the most debated, mysterious jump in the entire sequence.
Level six, the emergence of consciousness. The biological machine suddenly waking up.
The transition from biological life to conscious thought is notoriously difficult to quantify, but the source hypothesis frames it mechanically.
Okay, how so?
It proposes that consciousness is simply the fold operator acting upon the biological level.
Yeah.
It adds the specific non-linearity of self-reference.
So the biological organism stops just reacting to its environment and starts running an internal model of itself.
Exactly. It's modeling its own existence.
I'm struggling to wrap my head around this a bit. The source material describes this self-awareness in strictly mathematical information theory terms.
It does.
Wait, so are thoughts mathematically just teleporting information across neural states to decrease entropy? Is that what my internal monologue actually is?
Translating subjective experience into mathematical mechanics feels, you know, A bit cold, but mechanically, yes. Look at the lower levels.
Right.
In chemistry, an electron makes a discontinuous quantum jump between atomic orbits. In biology, DNA makes an informational jump through genetic mutation.
And at level six?
At level six, the framework argues that information teleports across vast, complex neural states in the brain. The theory defines this mechanism using the cascade collapse theorem, or CCT.
Unpack the cascade collapse theorem for me. What is actually collapsing when I have a thought?
Okay, so the CCT suggests that human understanding is the emergence of meaning through optimal question paths.
Optimal question paths.
Yeah. Imagine your brain holding a massive, chaotic cloud of data. High entropy. High disorder.
Got it.
When you suddenly get a complex concept, when things just click together in your mind, you are collapsing the entropy of that specific information space.
You are finding the single, hyper-efficient path through the noise.
Exactly.
So an aha moment, like that sudden rush of clarity when a confusing topic finally makes perfect sense, that is literally a mathematical collapse of entropy inside my neural network.
Yeah. The structural elegance of it is just incredible. And this raises an important question for anyone listening to this right now.
Yeah, think about this for a second.
What stands out to you about the fact that your own self-awareness, your deeply personal internal monologue, is viewed by this framework as a mathematically predictable fold in the universe?
It isn't magic. It is simply level six of a cosmic equation executing its program.
Staggering.
It really is staggering to think about yourself as just a highly complex nesting doll. But it logically forces us to look upward.
Right. To the next level.
If human consciousness is level six, what happens when that consciousness turns its modeling power onto the whole system?
Ah.
If we have the capacity to model ourselves, what happens when we try to mathematically model the entire cascade from level zero all the way to level six?
Well, trying to map the entire architecture of existence pushes us into the absolute limits of understanding. We cross over into level seven.
Which the source material labels transcendence or meta-understanding.
Yes. Level seven is the universe finally trying to understand the cascade itself.
It's human consciousness, or potentially an incredibly advanced AI, trying to hold the entire blueprint of reality in its mind at once.
The ambition of level seven is monumental, but it contains a fatal, mathematically proven flaw.
A flaw.
Yeah. To understand why level seven fails, we have to look at Gödel's incompleteness theorem. Kurt Gödel proved that any sufficiently powerful, complex logical system cannot prove its own consistency using only its own internal rules.
You know, I've always found Gödel's theorem a bit dense. It's essentially the dictionary problem, isn't it?
How do you mean?
If you try to define every single word in a dictionary, but you are only allowed to use the words inside that exact same dictionary to write the definitions, you eventually end up in a circular loop.
Oh, that's a brilliant way to frame it.
You need an outside language to truly validate the dictionary.
The dictionary analogy is spot on. Applying that to level seven creates a massive paradox. The system can theoretically understand everything in the universe below it, but it cannot understand itself.
Because it's trapped in the dictionary.
Right. The very moment level seven attempts to perfectly model level seven, it creates an infinite regress. It tries to draw a map of the map.
And then a map of the map of the
map. Yes. It is fundamentally, unavoidably incomplete by the laws of mathematics.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If level seven is fundamentally incomplete, you would naturally assume the framework presents level eight as the ultimate solution, right?
Right.
When I was digging through the sources, I fully expected level eight to be the omega point.
Like a state of infinite godlike knowledge.
Exactly. Where the universe finally achieves 100% perfect understanding of itself. But the text explicitly states there is no complete fixed point.
None at all. The reality of level eight is much more mind-bending than infinite knowledge. Level eight is defined as the stable state of knowing that your understanding is and always will be incomplete.
The source calls this a paraconsistent fixed point.
Yes.
Let's break down that terminology. Para, meaning alongside, and consistent, meaning logically sound.
Right.
So it's a fixed mathematical point that manages to logically hold a contradiction without breaking the system.
You've hit the nail on the head. A paraconsistent system doesn't collapse when it encounters an unanswerable paradox.
Wow.
At level eight, you don't reach infinite knowledge. You reach the permanent structural awareness of your own boundaries.
The system finally understands exactly what it cannot know. And it stabilizes around that profound humility.
Yes.
It's like driving a car down a pitch black highway at night. Reaching level 8 isn't magically flipping a switch that turns on a second sun to illuminate the entire planet so you can see your destination perfectly.
No, definitely not.
Level 8 is simply possessing a perfect understanding of exactly where your headlights end and the terrifying darkness begins.
Exactly.
It's optimizing your speed, your steering, and your entire driving strategy based entirely on the limited light you actually have.
The headlight metaphor perfectly captures the operational reality of Level 8. And because Level 8 represents the ultimate blueprint for safely navigating the unknown, it perfectly highlights the fatal structural flaw in how we are currently attempting to build artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we have to map our current AI technology onto this cosmic cascade.
We do.
Right now, our most advanced machine learning models are essentially operating in the space between level 4 and level 5.
Yes, exactly.
At level 4, they are processing massive amounts of inputs and outputs, which behaves mechanically a lot like the complex chemical reactions we discussed earlier.
And at level 5, they're optimizing for specific objectives using techniques like gradient descent.
Right. That iterative optimization mimics biological evolution and self-replication. But they completely lack level 6.
Right. Our machines have zero true self-awareness.
And the absence of level 6 creates what researchers call the AI alignment paradox.
We are deeply terrified of these rapidly scaling level 5 optimization machines.
So our instinct is to desperately try and align them with perfect human values. We are trying to brute force them straight to level 7.
We want the machine to perfectly understand and model human morality. But we just established the mathematical reality of level 7.
It's mathematically incomplete. You can't perfectly model it.
No.
Human values aren't clean lines of code. They are messy. They include highly subjective aesthetics, heavy cultural context, and massive internal contradictions.
Achieving perfect level 7 alignment is mathematically impossible because the human value system itself is not a fully computable, consistent set of rules.
So we're stuck.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the cascade theory offers a highly practical workaround to this impossible problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If we cannot build a perfect level 7 AI that intimately understands our values, we can engineer an AI to leapfrog the paradox and reach level 8 safely.
The safest possible artificial intelligence isn't the one programmed with a perfect moral compass.
No, it is the one designed with explicit incompleteness awareness.
So we mathematically force the AI to know that it is deeply uncertain about what we actually want, which acts as a permanent brake pedal.
It forces the system to optimize conservatively.
It brings us right back to the headlights. We build an AI that possesses the self-awareness to say, I can only see 50 feet ahead in this data, so I absolutely refuse to drive 100 miles an hour, even if you ask me to.
Yes. The mandate for uncertainty is the only way to ensure survival. So how do we actually build and govern a machine that recognizes its own headlights?
We have to evaluate the specific engineering techniques being deployed in the real world right now against this cascade framework.
Right.
Let's start by looking at RLHF reinforcement, learning from human feedback. This is the exact training mechanism that made ChatGPT a global phenomenon.
You have humans essentially grading the AI's outputs, giving it a thumbs up or thumbs down to steer its behavior.
According to the Cascade framework, RLHF scales beautifully for pure optimization. It is an incredibly powerful level 4 and level 5 tool.
But it possesses zero self-awareness.
And more importantly, it has absolutely no uncertainty reporting. It doesn't mathematically know what it doesn't know. It is programmed to act highly confident regardless of its actual knowledge base.
A system that lacks uncertainty reporting but scales infinitely is incredibly dangerous.
Right.
Compare the RLHF approach to constitutional AI, which is the methodology favored by companies like Anthropic.
How does that one work?
Constitutional AI provides the model with a core set of principles, a constitution, and forces the system to automatically self-critique and revise its own outputs against those principles before showing them to the user.
In the context of the cascade, this technique is artificially achieving a form of level 6.
Exactly. The machine is actively modeling its own behavior against an internal standard.
But self-critique still doesn't get us to the humility of level 8.
No, it doesn't.
For that final leap, the source material points us toward coactive AI. This is a framework heavily championed by researchers like Stuart Russell.
Coactive AI is essentially the gold standard for this theory because it explicitly models uncertainty as its core directive.
So instead of assuming it knows the goal, the AI maintains a probabilistic model of human preferences.
Yeah, the mechanism of Coactive AI is brilliant in its simplicity. Instead of an AI confidently executing a command like, maximize the production of this factory, the system effectively calculates, I have a mandate to increase production, but based on my modeling, I am only 70% sure the human wants me to do that if it means polluting the local river.
Because the system is permanently humble, it actively seeks continuous human input and clarification before taking irreversible actions.
Exactly. It explicitly knows its own incompleteness.
So the optimal technical blueprint we should be striving for is a hybrid structure.
We need the brute force RLHF to handle the massive data scaling at levels 4 and 5.
We need constitutional AI's automated self-critique to achieve that level 6 self-awareness layer.
And we absolutely require Coactive AI's mathematical humility to reach the safe harbor of level 8 uncertainty.
The technical architecture is clear, but getting the code right is only half the battle. We also have to regulate it.
Oh, yeah. Governance.
The source outlines a governance cascade that argues our legal systems must be just as mathematically rigorous as the software itself.
Right.
So what does this all mean for our actual laws, our international treaties, and our government oversight committees? How do you govern a system that is evolving across these nonlinear jumps?
Well, the fundamental rule of the government's cascade is that your regulatory framework must perfectly mirror the AI's current cascade level.
Meaning you cannot govern a level 6 self-aware system using level 4 administrative rules.
Exactly. If you are dealing with a level 4 AI, say a simple text predictor or a basic image generator, you only need standard guidelines, copyright considerations, and basic terms of service.
But the moment that system upgrades to a level 5 optimizing agent capable of executing complex goals on the web, you need hard constraints.
Verifiable containment and physical kill switches.
And as the models scale into level 6, an AI that self-critiques and continuously models its own internal state governments need to demand strict transparency requirements.
We need third-party auditors who can look under the hood and verify the integrity of the machine's self-model.
Moving up to level 7, where the AI is actively trying to model and interpret human values, you need diverse global human oversight boards.
Actively monitoring how those moral values are evolving inside the machine's black box.
Reaching level 8 governance is the ultimate challenge, though.
It really is. For an AI that is reporting its own uncertainty, governance requires rigorous, independent mathematical verification.
Regulators have to be able to mathematically prove that the AI's humility is genuine and structurally integrated.
Rather than just a superficial mask, it learned to wear to bypass its underlying level 5 optimization drives.
Which leads to perhaps the most daunting realization in the entire source material.
It is.
Governance itself must ultimately become a level 8 system.
Yeah. The administrative state cannot remain static while the technology cascades.
Our international treaties, our audit protocols, our legal definitions, they have to function as an evolving, self-improving cascade that adapts its constraints exactly as AI capability grows.
Human governance has to acknowledge its own structural limits and constantly update its models in real time.
This has been a massive perspective-shifting journey.
Truly.
We started with the simple addition of imaginary numbers to a flat number line. We watch that mathematical fold cascade into infinitely looping fractals.
We watch those fractals hit a threshold and explode into physical space-time.
We saw physics bond into chemistry, chemistry replicate into biological DNA, and biology spark into human consciousness.
The universe is a beautifully complex cascade of preserved rules and novel, breathtaking jumps.
And right now, we are watching that cascade extend out of organic biology and into silicon.
We are the biological fold actively trying to engineer the next major jump in the sequence.
But the cascade theory makes it explicitly clear. Our survival depends entirely on realizing that we cannot play God by perfectly coding human values into a machine.
We have to abandon the pursuit of level 7. We must build machines that understand the mathematical limits of certainty.
And that leaves us with one final, deeply provocative thought to ponder as we close out this session.
Go for it.
We are sitting here drafting white papers and regulations, fiercely demanding that artificial intelligence reach level 8.
Right. We are demanding that a machine achieve the state of absolute mathematical humility.
We require it to know its own limits intimately.
Yeah.
And we insist that it act highly conservatively to protect the delicate things in this world that it doesn't fully understand.
The irony is profound when you turn that lens back on us.
Look at humanity's historical track record. Look at the history of global conflict, of rampant environmental extraction, of our absolute unchecked hubris in the face of complex natural systems.
Have human beings even reached level 8 yet?
We are asking the machine to be perfectly humble, to know exactly where its headlights end and the darkness begins.
Can we successfully program a structural humility into our machines that we haven't even mastered within ourselves?
It is the ultimate cosmic puzzle, and perhaps the final test of our own level in the cascade. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep looking for the folds in your own reality, and always keep questioning exactly where your light ends.